Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-cape-wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob. There, I'm on the video there, too, as well. Back here for another episode of Bob After Dark. Remember, phone line number. Got it up and running. It should be good to go. 219-845-1100. I know we got the Zoom powered up here, too. We'll get those guests on in just a second. Is there four people, Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of people on one Zoom line. I hope we don't overblow it.
You're not. It's fine, Count. Don't jinx it.
We'll be okay.
So I'm going to flip this table.
We'll figure this out.
All right, so let's start off with the Count Panic's weekend update.
Yeah, pretty good weekend. Bob laid back, of course, as we enter, what's it called, the spring forward, right, or something like that?
We haven't spring forwarded yet. Not yet. That's meteorological. That word. It is spring according to the meteorologist.
So this was our final weekend to enjoy... Well, no, we'll get our hour back eventually down the line when the veil is thinning. But yes. There's nothing for this time. It's not like a spooky time, right?
Well, spring equinox.
That's spooky, right?
It's veil thins.
Okay. But it was a good weekend, Bob.
That's good.
What about you? Did you go anywhere?
No, I spent it sick.
You're sick?
Yeah, well, I was sick. I'm just getting over it. I had me a nice sinus infection and bronchitis I was fighting all weekend, so that was fun.
You had the bronchitis. Okay, well, let me see. Hold on here.
Uh-oh.
Make sure... I didn't switch this thing, but I think we're okay with that if I just stop it. Okay, this is the Jed loop file. Open. If you hear me on the radio, let me know. Okay, I guess we're on the radio because people are saying we're on the radio. Sam Michael chime in. How's the weekend? Sam Michael, how is the weekend going on there? You know, there's so many steps to this new studio. Sam doesn't get
the... Hi, Sam.
Sam's lucky he's the sports director now, because he doesn't have to sit here and try to figure out all the new stuff. What a dream job that guy has, but he's doing okay.
That's good.
How was his weekend?
How's your weekend, Sam? Yeah. But anyway, I spent mine sick and getting over it, so I laid in bed mostly and just kind of complained. So that was my weekend.
Well, there you go.
All right, so if this is your first time ever watching or listening to an episode of Bob After Dark, where your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite flavor of Jell-O.
That's just probably got to be the red one, Bob, right? The red Jell-O?
I like grape Jell-O myself.
Grape Jell-O?
I like grape Jell-O.
It's very rare. You can't get that in restaurants.
No, you usually get red or green.
You got to get red or green.
That's all you get.
We got people on the YouTube. And now I got to monitor the YouTubes, too, because we're on the YouTubes as well. We got Windstorm back in here. You could still call. The phone lines are open.
219-845-1100.
I think they cost us money now. So
you could call it in, folks. 219-845-1100.
Beth Combs chiming in. The Faded chiming in. Saw Scream 7 and Resident Evil this past weekend. Went to the movies there. Stan Stefanski's on the YouTube as well. Who's ready for his Zivyets? You know,
I am.
You are here
I
soon.
I am.
And Julian won. First time here. So hello to everybody in the chat line.
Excellent. I'm happy to have the chat bouncing. We have guests this week, Count Panic.
We do. So let me maneuver this here.
Yes, let's get them over.
Invite them all in.
Will I see them now?
Well, let's hope, Bob.
Because I know in the old days they could just see you, but not me.
I'm admitting everybody in the room.
I see two people. I see three people.
Did I get all four of you?
How about me eating?
Oh, no. I see three. Are we missing one?
Yeah, no, I can't hear anything. Adrian!
Can you hear us there?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Excellent.
There we go.
Are we missing some?
Hold on. One more. And they should be coming in right there. There they are.
Excellent. Guys, thank you so much for being patient with me.
There we go.
No problem.
And Bob.
I was lost. I was scared.
Now, let me see if I can throw the phone lines here.
Oh, let's we got a phone call already.
Let's do this. Let's talk to this phone caller here. Let's talk. And if this works, then we're in the clear for everything here.
Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
It's going. Who are we talking to?
Windstorm.
Hey, what's going on? Windstorm from Wisconsin. How you doing tonight, bud?
Good. Yeah, I thought I would clear up the confusion. I don't have to be John anymore.
Oh, there you
go. By my YouTube name.
Oh, what's on your mind tonight, bud?
Not much. I was got distracted with a movie. I totally forgot what day it was, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Bob's live right now. I got to go call in.
Well, was the movie worth it?
I'm not done with it yet. There's like 13 minutes left. I have seen it before. I don't know if you've ever heard of The Last Kingdom on Netflix.
No, I can't say I've seen it.
When the series ended, they came out with a movie to like conclude all the storylines.
Mm.
And so that's what this movie is.
I gotcha. Well, we appreciate
it. It's a really good series. It's based off of the, like the formation of like the, of the country of England and stuff with like King Alfred and stuff. I don't know how historical it is, but, or like accurate, but it's pretty good. If you like that kind of stuff.
I'll have to check it out. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Mr. Windstorm.
Yeah, no problem, man. I love your show, and I'm looking forward to watching the rest of it.
Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you. Look at that. First phone call of the night went without a hitch.
I think we're good, Bob. Continue on there.
Okay, first phone call went without a hitch. We got all four of our guests on the screen, and it only took us 20 minutes into the show.
Next week you're going to have 20 guests.
I agree with the caller. The Last Kingdom was a great show. I prefer Vikings. More than that, but anyhow.
All right, so we have four guests tonight from Amok Paranormal. What is Amok Paranormal? And then we'll go around. So any four of you can answer that question, and then we'll go around and introduce yourselves.
I'll tell you what it is. There's a start to that thing. We live in Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Kansas. And I started the Amok Paranormal podcast with me from Arkansas. I got together with Shaw from Oklahoma. So we pulled in Pam because of her team's paranormal convention I knew nothing about. That was 2.5 hours away. And then I knew Ken. I said, let's start a podcast, mostly paranormal stuff in our areas, events and paranormal stuff in our areas. So Amok stands for Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Kansas.
Excellent. So we have the Central America here with us this evening, Count Panic.
Yes, we are the flyover states.
Yes, exactly.
And we're trying to get people to land here.
All right, so let's go around and introduce ourselves. We have the top. I don't know how your squares look, but the one with the Aurora Borealis. That's my top left. So we'll start with you.
Is that me?
That's you.
All I see is me. I don't see you. I mean, I see you and me. That's it. Anyway, I'm Ken Rahmuller. Now I see Adrian. Ken Rahmuller. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri area. Amok's been going on. This is our fourth season. We're having a blast. We get together quite a bit throughout the year at various locations for paracons, for fun, for investigating. And it's been pretty... pretty great, and my teammates are just amazing.
That's great. And the box next to you.
Which one?
Oh, that's me.
blue hoodie, it looks like. Count, can you switch the camera view back? No, okay.
Hi, I'm Pam Ernest. I'm in Kansas, Southeast Kansas. I'm also in conjunction of being with Amok Paranormal. I'm also with Bordertown Paranormal. And like Adrian said, we do have an annual Paracon Been doing this since most of my life, honestly. Got serious about it in about 2012 when our team started. So been around for a while.
Excellent. Bottom left corner.
That me or that her?
That's her.
That her. Shauna, go.
Sorry, folks. Our camera system's acting a little wonky, so I have to wing it when I'm looking at my tiny screen on who's who. Bandana wearing.
It's all right. It's like what I'm seeing you, me, Ken, Pam is on the bottom, and Adrian's over here. So
that's fair.
I'm Shauna. I'm in Oklahoma. I became part of a muck. Adrian and I have been friends for a little while now, and like he said, we started everything, and he started everything. Anywho's, it wasn't. You already know the spill on that one. I have been doing this since 2012, in the paranormal field since 2012. I started my own podcast, Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. This is my fifth season, so I started that, and we started muck a year after that, so... We just talk to everybody, go to conventions, and do some paranormal investigating.
Excellent. And last but not least.
Is it me? It's me.
It's you. It's finally you.
It's the man.
Yeah, we talked a little earlier, and I was telling you, I was like a non-believer. I didn't believe in anything like that. And had my first paranormal experience in 99. Started a team in 2006. Started... Amok in, what was that, 2023?
Yeah, I think so.
2022? It's our fourth season. Math is hard. Anyhow, we
hey, we're investigators. Yeah, we're all mathematicians.
We're all investigators. We have our own teams. We all do our thing. And like I was saying, Pam was doing, her team had this event just in our neighborhood, and I said, man, we need to get together so we can actually talk about events on our area and highlight stuff, because everybody wants to talk about the spooky towns, the East Coast, and, you know, talk about New Orleans. They don't want to talk about the really haunted location that's just down the street from us, and that's what I like to talk about on Amok. So, but no, like I say, we all have our own teams, but we get lucky enough to get together sometime, and doing this, we like to get together at events and set up a table and interview people real time. That's kind of where I went ahead.
So AMUC Paranormal is a conglomeration of the four of you from four separate paranormal groups.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah.
Excellent. And you guys decided to get together and we're making a podcast.
Yep. Yeah, basically. on a whim, and you're on the show, so you see how we are. We're still kind of whimmy.
We do run amok, definitely.
Definitely run amok.
Quite often.
Aptly named.
Yep. It was mostly just to get the people to understand there are events and stuff that happen in central USA. I mean, we do have a lot of stuff that goes on here, as well as not just on the East Coast, West Coast, North or South. Mm-hmm. So it was just bringing awareness.
That there's paranormal things that happen in our area. You know, you'd never hear hardly ever of Bigfoot in Kansas, and there is Bigfoot in Kansas.
There is.
Well,
in Oklahoma too. I mean, there's a big thing that happened not too long ago where there was a silo.
Done by silo,
Oklahoma. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go in order, the same order you guys introduced yourselves. We're going to go in the order of your what got you into the paranormal?
Oh, my goodness. I think that's me first, huh?
That would be you.
I have been a fan of basically horror or monster movies, as I will call them. Not the blood and guts movies when they finally came around, but I've been watching monster movies since I was about 5 years old with my dad. Never knew what the word paranormal was, never heard of it until about 20 some odd years ago, when I kind of got involved with trying to figure out what is really out there. I've always had a keen interest in it. Weird things have happened to me my entire life, but never put it together until about, like I said, I guess I've been investigating almost 20 years. but it really started coming together about 15 years ago. I started seeing more, understanding more, and then it just made me more curious to figure out what is out there. I have seen tons of things. I mean, I've seen UFOs. I have seen a Bigfoot, possibly two, maybe even three. I've seen aliens. I've seen some strange critters out there, some cryptids, giant cats to weird looking inchworms that are about 4 feet in diameter. I'm sorry, 4 feet in length, about a foot in diameter. I've seen strange animals that just don't fit any norm. So I've just witnessed a lot of things. I've even seen full-bodied apparitions, and apparently I chatted with one for 10 minutes, and five of us saw me talking to somebody. My other five people in the group thought I was standing there wasting my time. So I've got tons and tons of stories, but it's been fascinating. And just the more I see, the more I find, the more I witness, I want to do it even more and look for more opportunities to just chat with the, I call it just the spirit world or the invisibles.
Love it. Next.
I started, let's see, it was the late 70s, early 80s, ghost hunting with my brother when I was like 9, 10 years old and he was about 14. And we would go to places during the summer because you were actually able to go places and your parents not know where you were back then. So we did a lot of that. And we had a really, really weird experience. And that piqued my interest and it got me chasing this thing, you know, all these years later. And then I had the luck to run into like-minded individuals in my little bitty hometown. And we started our group and just started out mostly ghost hunting. And then we kind of realized, you know, everything's connected, and moved forward from there, getting into more of, you know, the cryptids and UFO stuff. And that led us to starting the Paracon. This will be our 8th year for the Paracon. Where we don't charge for it, which is really unusual from what we hear. But it's more of a networking situation, so we can pull everyone in from the four states to meet each other and to share ideas. And we just invite the public to come listen, basically. And it's been a lot of fun, and it's gotten a little bit bigger every year. And it's been a great thing. We have our own podcast too. It's Bordertown Strange Podcast. It's in its 3rd year now. So yeah, it's been a great time. I don't see it slowing down anytime soon.
Excellent. Next.
Well, I didn't realize I always liked horror movies and I liked watching the paranormal stuff on like Unsolved Mysteries and stuff like that. And I loved listening to my mom's paranormal stuff that she had happened to her when she was younger. I got really interested in witches and magic and all that whenever I was in my teens. And I really didn't get into the paranormal, though, until I was in my 30s. Once I got into my 30s and I started seeing, of course, the common ghost adventures and ghost hunters, I was like, you know what? I wonder if all that stuff that happened to me when I was younger was part of the paranormal. And it really made me think back to some things that happened that occurred that was like, wow, yeah, that was probably mostly paranormal. I'm not woo-woo, and this is Adrian's words. I'm not woo-woo, but I've had some stuff happen to me that I just can't explain. And so in 2012, I started Geeks Paranormal. We had 15 people in the group that dwindled down to just me now over the years. And then I got more into my podcast, so I wanted to start to learn more from other people, other investigators on how they do things. And because it's always a learning curve, you're always learning in this field. And that's pretty much me. And I go to conventions and I meet people and I network and I still investigate.
Excellent. And last but not least, the encounter.
It's me again. Yay.
The great experience of 1998. That's I've been
99.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. The Great Paranormal Experience of 99.
Well, up to that point, I did not believe in the paranormal. We were living in McAllister, Oklahoma, and we lived in a house that my kids and my wife were swearing up and down that it was haunted. There was stuff going on. They were hearing voices in the house. My wife was touched. I was a very strong and supportive husband by inciting people to laugh at my wife because she was being silly. But, there's no such thing as ghosts. You die, you go up, you go down. There's no two ways about it. And that's the way I looked at it. Very hardcore Bible thumper at the time. Still a hardcore Bible thumper, but not like then. It was pretty crazy. But we was coming home from the movies, my wife and I. We was in a full-size van, come down a main drag in McAllister. It was late at night, so the town was just shut down. There's nobody else on the street. But it was a well-lit street. I got four lanes, two going each direction. You had a big center divide, and I was coming up to a large train tracks section, so it's well lit. And we saw a creature run across the road. And when I say creature, I first thought I saw like a huge black panther. But there was no tail. And as you're wrapping your mind around it, the front legs were real exaggerated above its back. Kind of, you want to think like it had wings, but they were folded back into themselves. And just before it left out of our view, it turned and looked at us. And it was definitely not a cat face. It was more like a bat face. And, at this point, I'm stopped in the middle of the road. And my wife goes, "Did you see that?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "What'd you see?" I was like, no, because I really thought I lost my mind. Because by the time it passed across, I'm thinking all things. I'm thinking, yeah, that was a demon. Tina thought it was a gargoyle. she had explained to me. She said, "What'd you see?" I said, no, you tell me." So she described exactly what I saw. So I knew that even if I had gone crazy at that moment, she wouldn't have gone crazy. She would have saw what I saw, but she did see what I saw. So that made it real to me. So if that thing was real, then everything else possibly could be. So, I heard the voices in the house. I just blew it off like most men do. I blew it off. I thought, okay, that's got to be the neighbors. That's got to be, somebody outside. We lived in an old house and had bay windows on it. And one day I heard the conversation. So I muted the TV, make sure it wasn't TV. I still heard the conversation. So it's coming from my left. And I get up and I walk to the bay window in the dining room and I looked outside because it's got to be my neighbors. But they weren't home and there was nobody out there. So I was like, okay, well, now it's still coming from my left. So I get up from there and I walked toward the through the kitchen toward the back to the back door because there was people lived above the garage apartment behind us. But as I walked past the conversation that was in our kitchen, I stopped because now it's behind me and I back up and the conversation is still going on. And I turned and looked at that area and then the conversation stopped. I'm like, okay, these voices, like the scary movie, these voices were coming from inside the house and there was nobody there. So I was like, okay, I always consider that my first investigation, but we didn't start a team until many years later. We bought this house and this house that I'm currently in is haunted. So it's kind of just, we started River Valley Paranormal, Fort Smith, Arkansas, 2006. And, fairly busy, except for the last couple of years. We kind of shut it down during COVID, like a lot of people did. Never really picked it up back. We do special places, and I like to go in and help people more than let's just do an investigation for giggles. And I get along with these crazy people, and we go do some fun places, and that's good times too. So
for giggles
started. Yeah. But started a muck to stay in it and enjoy talking with people. And people have had experiences, people like you who have fun doing this stuff. And here we are.
Absolutely. Count, we have a caller.
Yeah, let's see if this caller is here. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob. How are you guys doing?
John, how's it going? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you know what? You got four interesting guests, so I only got one question, two questions, really. So all four of you are from different states. How did you guys meet? And I assume it's at a convention, since you mentioned conventions. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we, me and Shauna knew each other because we met at a convention, and she's doing stuff, and, you know, if you ever meet Shauna, she's always got her phone and she's like recording herself. So I'm talking to her. At the Mid-South Paranormal Convention, that Keith Age puts on. We met there, and just knowing her, and I was thinking, yeah, I've been wanting to do a podcast for a while. And then she's through her. I find out that Pam, I've known Ken for years at this point too, and I found out Pam's got that event going on. I never met Pam, and so Shauna's like, "Hey, I know this person. She's kind of cool. She's kind of nerdy, but she's cool." she's a librarian. Of course, she's nerdy. But
let's not forget, I got my butt reamed for that too.
Yeah, because it's right there. We just all got together. We started the podcast before we all met, so we didn't meet until the next year's Bordertown, right?
I think we got together at Ray County,
the TB hospital.
Oh, that's right.
It was at the TB.
It was at Ray County.
Ray County, all of us.
Yeah,
I met you guys at the TB hospital.
At the TB, okay, yeah.
And I was supposed to meet you at the Lamp Mansion a few months before that.
Yeah, but I got COVID. COVID.
So, so there was a reason why we were all supposed to get together. Yeah.
So you guys met at a convention, then you maybe answered my second question. So a muck was already started before all four of you met, or was it after all four of you met?
Yeah, before we started the show before we all met.
Well, we knew each other,
but we had never gotten together in one space until after we started. Correct.
Oh, okay. And I were the only ones that knew each other personally.
Yeah, I admit.
You, Ken and Adrian knew each other personally. I knew Adrian personally, and I knew Pam personally.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, well, that's quite interesting, and I'm listening to your story. So, Bob, thank you, and I don't want to take up much of your time. I'll listen to the show, okay?
And thanks, John, for calling in. We always appreciate you.
Yeah, have a good show, and I'm looking forward to hear what they got to say.
Sounds good. Folks, do you want to call in and make Count Panic do some work behind the scenes?
Enough work.
219-845-1100. That's 219-845-1100. You can call in and say hi. Ask a question to me or ask a question to our guests this week. Keep those phone lines open. So back to our guests. So you guys are a conglomerate, and you all have your own things going on. What is, how often do you guys get together for group investigations?
Not often. Well, maybe a couple times a year.
Yeah, we didn't really get together a lot last year. I mean, the year before that, we did. We got together quite a bit.
We did, yeah.
About three
times. But last year, I was in poo-poo mode.
You were in poo-poo mode? I broke my leg.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a big nerd.
And this year is mainly going to be conventions. Next year is going to be our year of investigations together. This year, we're trying to network and get our name out there a little bit more so more people will come over and
talk to us
in our chat room while we're doing live and ask their questions to the guests that we have.
What is your favorite paranormal experience? Same order that we introduced yourselves in. Your favorite encounter that you've ever had?
Wow, I've had a lot.
I was waiting because Ken, the brief moment that you and I met at Dead of Winter, we clicked in such a way when you were like, you know, I've seen ghosts and stuff, but I've also seen cryptids. So I was, when I usually ask this question, I'm like, man, I can't wait to hear what Ken's got to say because Ken's seen a lot. So let's hear it.
Oh my gosh. Well, you want to go cryptid? You want to go UFO? Or do you want to
surprise
go ghost?
Me? Dealer's choice.
Surprise you.
Favorite, Ken. Favorite.
There we go.
Favorite. Yeah.
Favorite. The most intriguing one for me, I think, was. When I mentioned before, I actually had a conversation with a full-bodied apparition. I didn't know who he was. I thought he was the pastor of an old church we were investigating. There was a bridal or a wedding, not a reception, but a wedding practice, I guess, in the front of the church. And he's back there in the back kind of watching us. And he kind of looked at me. And so I walked over and said, hey, what's up? And he said, hi. This is the weird thing. I remember him saying, hello. I think I shook his hand. And the only other thing I know is at some point he said, see that girl down there? That's my granddaughter. She's getting married tomorrow. And then my friends, I looked up and I saw my friends. Like I said, five of them saw me. Are four of them plus me, we saw the apparition or the guy. I didn't know he wasn't real. And the other four people or five people said, what the hell are you doing over there? It's like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be over here helping us set up for an investigation tonight. So I didn't even think about the guy standing next to me. And I mean, we're practically elbow to elbow, just kind of watching what's going on. And, didn't make any sense. So I when I saw my friends looking at me, I walked over to them, totally forgot about this guy, and started helping set up and all that. And then the rehearsal was finished. Church was empty. We all left just about 5 o'clock. We all left to go to dinner. So three of us were in the car. I was a passenger in the front. A friend of mine was driving, and a buddy of mine was behind us in the back seat. We see the guy walking up the sidewalk. And he addressed us. He said, hey, guys, have a good day. And he tipped his hat, and I said, thank you, and you have a great day as well. And looked at my buddy in the back seat and said, hey, and you have a good day too. And, of course, he responded. My friend responded back. We don't know where the guy came from. We only saw him about 20 feet in front of us when we first noticed him, walking down the sidewalk, which was about 3 feet to our right, passed us up as he commented about my friend behind me in the back seat. I reached over to buckle my, seatbelt, and we were all not paying attention. The guy just disappears. It wasn't until about 2 weeks later, another friend of mine who was there who did see him said, Ken, you remember that guy? I described him. I said, oh, yeah, you mean the guy, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, yeah. He said, he wasn't real. I go, no, no way. He goes, yeah. He said, he wasn't real. So I started reviewing my video and my photos and everything else more closely. Sure enough, there's photos and pictures. While I was standing over there, you don't see me in the picture, but you don't see him at all right at the end of the pews. And it's like the guy was never there. And then I realized, well, his suit was about two sizes too big. His fingers barely came past, or his jacket came down to almost his fingernails. He looked really frail. He looked extremely old. And I'm like, don't know who he was. And so that started realizing that, oh, this guy really wasn't real. And what the heck was I doing talking to a ghost and carried on a conversation, but there's no record of it except me watching him and talking to him. And I truly believe I did shake his hand at the very beginning of it.
Interesting.
So that was a crazy, crazy experience. That was one of the most I think that was one of the craziest I've had.
That's fascinating.
I'm looking at our text line as well here. The Bigfoot If you go further, it's a big Bigfoot fan, I guess. Can you go further into the Bigfoot story if you get a chance? If you've seen a Bigfoot, I mean, this is a texter that loves Bigfoot here. So.
Oh, okay. I have a feeling I know who it is. Yeah, but, so.
Yeah, so any more to expand upon that?
Sure. This happened actually down in Mena, Arkansas. I was actually went down there on one of my little trips I take. I can take an hour trip and turn it into eight. But this was a planned one to go down there. And they're all shaking their head. Yes. I went down there and I spent the night actually hoping to do some experiments and trying to communicate with Bigfoot. I was trying to use a spirit box. Of course, that didn't work. I heard a couple of sounds out of it, but then basically the batteries were blown out of the water. They just start squealing a high pitch and then they would quit. Blew out three batteries within a matter of like 20 minutes, 9-volt batteries. I'm like, no, this just sucks. So I'm trying to put this thing together, back together with a new battery in the dark. Little tiny screwdriver, little tiny screws. And I happened to look to my right. I was with somebody else. The other person was facing me. And I sensed some movement happening behind me and to my right. And I kind of glanced. I got pretty good peripheral vision. And I kind of glanced back and I saw a very tall, dark, blacker than the normal darkness. Outline of a figure that was about 10 foot tall, at least 8 to 10 foot tall, and it was standing next to a big black oak tree, big, huge tree. And I'm like, we were talking about looking for Bigfoot, and the lady was sitting across from me. I said, I'm using hand signals, with my hands across my chest like this, because I don't want this thing to see me moving around and pointing to him. I go, yeah, kind of. Right there, about 4, 5, 6 feet from us, there's a Bigfoot, and she kind of looks up a little bit with just her eyes. I could see her, and I mean it's a dark, so it's about 8, 9 o'clock at night, but there's a little bit of light, very clear night, a lot of stars and stuff, and she goes, "Holy," use whatever word you want.
Sure.
And and I'm like, yeah. And I kind of glanced back there with just my eyes again, and I saw it slink back behind the tree, and it disappeared. Now, a few hours before that, I was taking some photos in that same area. I just wanted to take some pictures. Sunset. Sun was setting behind us. And you know how, I don't know if you've seen the forest when the sun is starting to get really low, but the tops of the trees were kind of golden and orange. Beautiful, beautiful colors. So I'm trying to take a photo of those, and I've zoomed all the way in so I could really get far out into the woods area. I'm zoomed out with my phone camera, and I see these three little black rocks, and they all have pointy black rocks. And I'm like, what the hell is that doing out there? What are these rocks just doing out there? And they're pointy. One of them moved, and I went, whoa. I never could get it focused back on and find them again. So I think that's what I mentioned before. I may have seen two or three smaller ones too, standing next to a tree. I don't know for sure, but these pointy black rocks were way out of place. And they moved.
Yeah.
So
that's an experience, Ken.
Yeah, it was exciting because that's when I, 3 hours later, I'm out there trying to talk to these people. I call them people. They're, Mr. Foot. I was being very polite.
Okay. Next story, then. Our next guest. What's a paranormal encounter that sticks out to you? Maybe your favorite?
Probably my favorite. And this will harken back to when, my brother and I was 8 or 9, 10, somewhere in there. And he was about 14, because he was able to drive in Kansas. And it was during the summer, and we would go out just, there's a place west of town called the Sand Hills. And there's a lot of old abandoned homesteads and things like that. And he, at the time, collected beer beer bottles that had the screw tops on them. And back then you could still find them occasionally in old trash piles and things like that. So that's what he would look for. And I happened to be with him. And we're going down this old road, not too far out of town. And he sees an old house. So he pulls down the lane towards it. And there's a trash pile between it. So he pulls in, you know, there's no trespassing signs or anything. And he gets out and we look. And he did find a couple of them that were decent. And he put them in the car. And then we decided that we would ghost hunt a little bit, you know, just kind of look around. And the house was, you know, it was okay, but there was a great big barn there too. And we thought it would be cool, you know, to check out the barn. So we walk in and there's like, it's pretty nothing left in it. You know, there's a little bit of rotted tack on the wall. And when we went, there's like, you walked in from the north, the double doors, you know, the bigger doors were there. And there was just a smaller door on the south end. So we're walking towards it. He's in front of me and he steps out and he steps right back in and he's like, oh, whoa, we need to not be here. And I was like, you know, I'm the little sister, like, what? I want to see, you know. So I look out and there's these really strange little animal skulls. They're like in a half circle around the door and they're different colors, like they've been painted different colors. And I was like, okay, yeah, we need to get out of here. So we turn around and start walking back. And about that time, we hear some footsteps creak in the hayloft and he's like, run, you know. So we take off and we jump in the car and he pulls out and instead of turning back to the east, he turns west. And so we're going down this lane and it dead ended. And we're like, holy crap, we got to go back by this place now, you know. So he turns around and we're going by and, you know, he's going at a decent rate of speed and we see it and we see where the driveway was, but there's a fence pulled across it, taut, you know, the barbed wire fence. And it's not, you know, sometimes people would use those as gates, but they were always saggy kind of. This was not, it was taut. And so he kind of slowed down and backed up a little bit. And you could see our tire prints where we had pulled into that place. And we were like, okay, that was crazy, you know. So we go home and our parents that night, we're telling them the story and they were like, okay, y'all are nuts, you know? And we're like, oh, whatever, you know? So we kind of just set it aside in our mind or whatever. And then in about 4 years, when I was old enough to drive, I had always kept this in the back of my mind and we were out there, you know, me and my friends would go out there and it became the thing to look for Pam's house. You know, we got to find this place, could not find it anywhere. And we looked and looked for probably, you know, the next 2 or 3 years. And then I got older and I ended up being the president of the Historical Society in town. And one of the things that we would do was fulfill find a grave requests for, you know, photos of headstones. And there was a little cemetery out west of town. So me and my friend Leslie, we had gone out there and I had a 35mm camera with me, you know, digital. And we had gone out and taken the photos and we were coming back and she was driving and I was just looking around and it was wintertime. So there wasn't a lot of leaves on the trees or anything. And I'm looking off to the west and I'm like, holy cow, stop. There's the house. And Leslie's like, are you serious? Because, you know, she'd grown up with me. She'd helped me look for it a million times. And I was like, yes. So we're taking pictures of it. And we're like, that's so cool. We finally found it. And what was really strange was we've been down that road numerous times, a million times, you know, as kids. And so we go back and I get everything uploaded and I upload the photos to find a grave and everything. And we're just kind of like, yay, we found it. You know, I don't know what to do with it now, but we found it. Cool. Okay, solved, right? And so that was like maybe 2 years before we started Bordertown Paranormal. And my friend Jess that I met through there, I'm telling her about this place. And she was like, you know, my mom grew up out there. I should ask her whose house that was. And I was like, yeah, that'd be cool, you know, and maybe we can get permission to go out there and check it out. And so she calls her mom and her mom's like, oh yeah, that's old so-and-so's house. They tore that down in the 70s. And we're like, what? And she said, yeah. And I was like, oh, it has to be the wrong place. So I describe it again. And she's like, no, that was like less than a quarter of a mile from me. I know exactly where you're talking about. It hasn't been there in years. You described exactly what it looked like. And I was like, okay, that's weird. I was like, I have photos of it, you know? So I go to pull the photos up and they're gone. They're not on my computer. We found all the photos that were for the Find a Grave stuff. I even went to Find a Grave and, you know, found the dates to make sure I had the dates right. Everything was there, but those photos were gone. And so I'm like, okay, I'm not nuts. I'm going to call Leslie that was with me that day. So I call her on the phone and I'm like, tell these people I'm not crazy. And she's like, no, you're not crazy. I was with you. I saw it too. And she's like, are you serious? It's not there. And we were like, no. So we go out there. It's not there. It's we pull up.
To be fair, Google Earth, could be crazy.
Right? We pull up Google Earth and you can see very faint old foundations of where the barn and the house stood. But they were gone. And Jess's mom did confirm that that was the correct property that she was thinking of that she knew had been torn down in the 70s. So we call it my disappearing house now because it's the craziest thing. I saw it twice and, you know, I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means anything, but yeah.
Well, a lot of crazy stuff happens in that area. Because
yeah.
I'm only 15 minutes away from Pam. Mm-hmm. And a lot of crazy things happen in these areas that is very questionable.
It's freaky out there, but yeah, I don't know what to make of it. You know, it is what it is. If anybody could explain it, I'd love to hear it. You know, we go out there occasionally. We've never seen it again.
You are a little bit of woo-woo.
I am a little bit of woo-woo. Yeah. Just a little bit though.
All right. Shauna's turn.
Well, I have a lot of favorites, but I will stick to this one that was more recent. The house that the Airbnb that Ken and I stayed in when we went to Sleeper Mortuary, not Sleeper Mortuary, Aurora Brothel. We actually stayed in an Airbnb there and we were playing 21 with a spirit there. And we would call the cards and Ken would hold the card up towards the camera. I was live because of course I do everything live. I like live investigations. I do live situations like that where we're playing a game with the spirit. He had his spirit box going and he would hold the card up, not even looking at the card, to the camera, and the spirit would call out the card number and then put it back down, and it would cheat. The darn thing would cheat because it would call out who was busting before anybody knew they were going to bust and we'd lose. But it was a very awesome experience to have that spirit interact with us by playing a game such as 21. And we did a similar situation to a house when we went to Jefferson City. Was it Jefferson City?
Jefferson City. Yeah,
there was an Airbnb we stayed at there where we were playing trivia with the spirit. And the darn spirit cheated again. It would look over my shoulder and say something before I could even get the question out. So any kind of game where we're playing with the spirits, like 21 or trivia, that is my favorite because we're interacting with them live. They're right there. They're calling out the numbers or they're calling out the answers. And they would even laugh over the spirit box. And it was so awesome just to hear that interaction and be a part of that interaction with them and to know they wanted to communicate with.
And they would even tell us, they also told us to hit, pass, and stay.
They would. It was absolutely phenomenal. And they even said my name one time. I got that live. Mm-hmm. And they even said my name. And my name is Shauna. You don't hear Shauna too often. So to hear it come across the spirit boxes always gets me giddy and excited.
Count, you know something about playing cards with ghosts.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes they're tricky to gauge and they, you don't know where they're going to go next. But hey, I get lucky sometimes.
You played high card with the. You did play high card and you lost.
I did. Let's not talk about that.
They did too.
Let's not talk about that there.
They cheat.
All right. Cheat. And last but not least, our favorite, the 1990, the man of 99, Party Like It's 99. You can't use that story because you already used it once. You got to come up with a second
and what's so funny is that's not my favorite story. That's just the genesis of my story. I've been doing this and had lucky enough opportunity to be involved in some great investigation and seen some wild things. But my favorite happened in a local hospital here. I got two, and I would be real fast through them. Both of them happened during an event. One time, we're up on a floor. It's a massive hospital, multiple floors, long hallways, creepy place. But we're doing an event. We're not investigating. So we're standing by me and my friend Barry. We're standing next to a door, watching, making sure nobody comes and goes down the stairwell. And then we had Sean, who is all the way at the end at the window. We're waiting. Nobody's at our side of the building. And I guess Sean gets bored, and he comes walking up to us, and then he starts looking around. And he's like, it wasn't Barry. It was me and Don. Doesn't really matter. Details, right? He said, was Barry here with you? And he's like, no, it's just me and Don. There's nobody here. I said, and then I pointed at the two ladies walking at the hall. They look like people who paid for the event, you know, whatever. I said, just these ladies at the hall. And he would start to talk about, no, there were three people standing here. And I come up here, and it's only the two of you. And the one lady stopped at the doorway. Another lady come and turned and went into the nurse's station. And as Sean was talking about what he had experienced and what he had witnessed and explaining that there are three people here, not just the two of us that are here now, the lady that we were facing, who looked like she had paid attention to our conversation, just faded away. Hmm. So, yeah, three investigators saw a full-body apparition. And, of course, we alerted. We went crazy. And we're like, oh, yeah, and we're talking about it, comparing notes. She was this tall, and she looked normal, and blah, blah, blah. She was walking right next to this lady, and we point to the nurse's station where there was no lady. So, yeah, three investigators see two full-body apparitions at the same time. That's got to be my favorite.
That place was amazing, though. That
another investigation. Phenomenal. Another investigation, we're down in the basement, and the basement gets super dark, and you have to be there for a moment for your eyes to adjust, and there's another, you know, shorter hallway, and there's a window at the end, so you got to wait for your eyes to adjust, and I'm in front of the crowd. I got about 12 people there, and I'm up front, and everybody's, like, huddled behind me, and I said, okay, you can start seeing now, right? And everybody's like, yeah, we can see, because there's a window at the end, and I said, okay, there's a shadow right there, and the girls right behind me, they're like, yeah, we see it. And I'm like, it's like 6 feet in front of me. And they're like, no, it's right next to you. And so I turn to my left, and there are two shadows who are like really in my face. Like they're trying to, they're really animated. I can't hear what's going on, but I can see their head moving. Like, you guys aren't supposed to be here. You need to get out type thing. There was real urgency to it. And they were as they were pressing up to me, hadn't touched me, I'm up against the wall. And what made it great, not just what I'm seeing, but the reaction of those people who paid to be there, seeing these shadows, pinning me up against the wall, because I don't want to be touched by them. If you've ever been touched by a ghost, it sucks. I don't like it. Feels weird. Icky. Anyhow, those are mine. Good time.
But that place is amazing, though, because another thing with the paranormal is to compare notes. And I had an EVP where I heard sobbing or crying in my EVP. Well, I share it with Adrian, and Adrian's like, wait a minute. He gets his laptop out, and it's almost the same exact cry. But he had gotten his at a different time.
It's
very interesting. Yeah. It's very interesting when you have those to compare notes with.
Crazy place. I was there once with both of you guys.
Yeah, I love that place. I was known as Freak there.
Can we find out? And that's what the spirit box said, called you a freak there.
Oh, that's not nice.
No, I said,
think it was an endearment, honestly.
Oh, that's fair.
I've been there many a time, and the first time I went there, they called me a freak over the spirit box. And when I came with Ken that time, I said, hey, do you guys remember me? And it came across the spirit box like, freak. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I know who you are.
Man, I've had things call me. I've had spirit boxes call me out before, but freak's mean. I'm glad you found it endearing, though.
Well, look at me compared to the women back in the early 1900s. I have different color hair. I have piercings. I wear different kind of makeup. I have tattoos. So
sure.
I was a freak for them.
My team was called Crackpots on EVP. I thought that was great.
I was called an idiot.
I've been called. Yeah. I've had some very nice things I can't repeat on air.
Yeah, I've been cursed out before.
Yeah.
I've been called that too.
I've been told where to go, and I called it right
before. I investigated with my wife.
So, folks, we are running out of time, but we have a couple minutes here. Let's get some shameless plugs in. I know we have AMUC, which people can find AMUC at Paranormal on. I know Facebook's tricky right now with you guys because you're dealing with.
We were hacked.
You were hacked. So, how can people find AMUC right now?
Well, YouTube? Find us on YouTube. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And that is AMOK.
Mm-hmm.
Paranormal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mostly paranormal show.
Mostly paranormal.
Now, for the four of you, I know you guys had side projects, other groups going on. Let's get, we'll go in order again. What's going on in your guys? Anything you want to plug? Anything you're going to be doing or fill in the blank?
Sure. The group I have, which is just me, it's, as Adrian was saying, Shaw said earlier, my group started with about 14 people or so, about 14, 15 years ago, but it's gotten down to just me at this point. And I do mostly lectures and just have fun talking to people and the podcast. But my group is Monster Paranormal, and I'm here in St. Louis area.
Excellent. I will be seeing you at the Haunted American Conference, correct?
Yes, you will.
I will be there.
And hopefully we'll see you over at the Franklin again.
Yes. Okay, moving on. What do you got going on? What do you want to plug? You have a podcast, so we got to hear about that.
I do. I have Bordertown Strange podcast. It's on YouTube, and it's live on Facebook and YouTube. It's every other Wednesday night. Our whole catalog's free on YouTube as well. And we're audio on everywhere you get podcasts. It's me and my friend Jess from Bordertown Paranormal, and we deep dive all kinds of wild and wacky stuff. We have the occasional guest on to interview, but mostly it's deep diving, strange things. We do have the Bordertown Paranormal, Bordertown Paracon. It is, help me with the date this year, guys, August 8th. It's in Caney, Kansas. It's Saturday, August 8th. And we have, we're just now.
Free event. If you're close, come to it.
Yeah, it is free. And we do, if you're not able to come, it is live streamed on our Bordertown Strange YouTube page as well. Where are we going to be at this year, guys? We're going to be at Arkansas Paranormal.
Expo. We're going to be at Arkansas Paranormal Expo. We're going to be at
GoblinCon.
GoblinCon.
Central OzCon, Kansas Paracon.
Central Kansas. OzCon.
Yeah. OzFair.
So watch our pages and to see where we're going to be at for sure.
Me, I have my own podcast as well. It's called Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. It's live on Sundays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Watch this Sunday because I'm going to have a psychic medium on, and we're going to do cold cases. So if y'all are interested in that, you can go to the website at exploringtheparanormalperspective.com. It'll be right there on the front page. Any investigations I'm doing is usually with them because I don't do any investigations by myself. But that's not going to be until next year. But like they said, we're going to be at a lot of different places this year for conventions. So come see us.
Very cool. And last but not least.
Hey, you know, the only thing that I really got going right now is the AMUC podcast. All my attention's gone to that. And that is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. So it makes Tuesdays worth living. I mean, it's right up there with tacos. So as far as anything else, I'm always looking for the best burger. Beyond that, I'm good. Like they said, we have the events that we're going to do, the Arkansas Paranormal Expo out of Little Rock, that runs in October. It's been going for a while. It's a fun event. It's like $10 per person per day. It's a cheap place, inexpensive, I should say, but a great con. I mean, the busiest con I've done, really.
I love it.
Border Town is fantastic because we're going to be broadcasting from these as a muck. But then the Central Kansas Paracon, that's in September. You can find all these things online. They're just great events, great people, and just like to have fun. I'm anti-paranormal face. If you ever see me do a presentation, I like to have humor in it and tell ghost stories because that's my favorite thing.
All right. And that's great. One last thing. I always make my guests give a quip, a piece of advice, a riddle, a joke, something. So you guys gotta leave me with something, and we'll go in order. Advice, quote, something you read on a bathroom wall once. It could be anything.
Be true to yourself. Be original, and don't fake anything because the spirits know, and karma is hell.
Mm-hmm. All right, next.
That's a great one, Ken. Oh my gosh.
I'll put you on the spot here. That's your turn.
Right? Holy cow.
Repeat it. Just say ditto.
Ditto. Yeah.
My go-to is always don't play with matches.
That's smart. Ken, that's excellent advice. And if you see something that you don't understand, try to not fear it. You know, try to be more curious about it. Try to understand it. Rather than just to be afraid and shut down.
Excellent. Ms. Shauna?
Always do unto others as you would have them do unto you, always. Because karma is a and she does like to bite you in the butt. And also, hang in there like a hair in a biscuit, always.
Love that.
Yeah.
And finally.
A lot. Yeah, I would say, in all seriousness, never, ever trespass. Never investigate by yourself.
That's excellent.
All right.
Excellent. Count, you got any closing words for our audience? You've been quiet tonight.
Sure.
Let's technical difficulties.
Whoa.
Is the voice that behind the camera? Did he have a face?
What's that behind me? There's a ghost behind me right here. Looks like there's a ghost. Did you see that, Bob, or is that just me?
Disembodied voice.
Somebody was there. We'll get to investigating this, but Bob, thank you guys for coming on another great show of Bob After Dark in the books.
Yes. Folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Count Panic, we want to wish all of you sweet dreams. To my mom, good night. Sweet dreams to Dad, no matter where you are in the universe. I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweet dreams in the mall. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.